16, where we read in the name of our Lord. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus said to them, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which hath borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, you who own all things, so freely give them away. And Father, we freely receive because you have given us Jesus the Christ, and by your Holy Spirit, you have granted us to know salvation. We pray now, Father, once again, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So you notice once again that chapters in the Bible are useless. So ignore them. Those are just printers' things and scribes, that's all. Obviously, when you read this, you can see very clearly that what starts chapter 20 is really exactly the same as what ends chapter 19. There's a complete flow to this text. And you don't want to interrupt that flow, because the flow of the text is really what's showing us the very nature of God, that this is the way God is. You heard Jim read out of Jonah. That's one of my favorite readings of all time, is in the book of Jonah, because it's very important to remember how gracious God is. We all know the story of Jonah, and of course what we think of is the fish. The fish is almost incidental to the story. The fish doesn't do much of anything, just swallows him and then spits him up, okay? The fact of the matter is, the problem is that as Jonah said, I knew you were going to do this. I knew if I told people that you would be gracious, they would repent, and I knew if they repented, you'd let them off the hook. And he says, that's why I left my home and I tried to go to Tarshish. He said, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. You know how the story goes on. So God says, are you right to be angry? And Jonah says, doggone straight I am. He says, you bet I am. So God says, builds this nice little plant over him and protects him with the plant and does all that sort of stuff, you know. And Jonah's sitting up there on a mountain because he's waiting for God as he throws this little snit that God will turn around and do what he wants and kill those people in Nineveh. And so God has a worm come and eat the plant. So Jonah's got to sit up there, and then God sends a scorching wind, a scirocco, into there. And Jonah is just like, you know, sweating, no doubt, like crazy, and sitting up there, still waiting for God to kill those rotten Ninevites. And God says, are you right to be angry? Jonah says, I'm so right to be angry, I could die. And God says, why? You didn't do anything to get that plant. Not a singular thing did you ever do. He says, I've got 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh. And he says, and a bunch of animals, too, because you remember when they fasted, they put sackcloth on the animals, too. He says, I got all of that there. And then the book ends. And that's the point. That's the end of the discussion. God is a savior. He has no interest in destroying anyone. No one. No one. Even rotten people like the Ninevites. And they were rotten. They were a nasty group of people. But when they repented, God was open and fully willing to receive them. You see, this is what Jesus was talking about. You know, the beginning of this story is a guy comes to Jesus and says, well, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus basically says, you know, he tells him basically what's in the commandments. And the guy says, well, I've done all that stuff. And Jesus says to him, well, he says, if you really want to bring this to completion, he says, go take everything you have and sell it. And when the young man heard it, he was very troubled by this because he was very wealthy. And Jesus says, I'm telling you, it's very, very difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into that kingdom. And what I want you to understand is right away the disciples said, well, then, obviously, he says, who can be saved then? How can this actually happen? Because they understood very clearly, if you're rich, it means God has blessed you. God has blessed you. You must be very, very, very blessed. So if you're very, very rich, then that shows that you're like already in. You're already made in the shade, to borrow a pun from Jonah. And you come to this point of understanding that that's really where you're at. Everything is just really good. And now Jesus is saying, well, no. No, that's not how this works. And the disciples say then, nobody can really be saved. And Jesus says, yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. He says, with human beings, this is impossible. He says, no one can be saved. He says, but with God, he says, all things are possible. And this is the delineation in terms of understanding what's going on with God and the way that we think about God. God is gracious. God is merciful. God saves. He saves. Not because of anything that we do. We get into this mode that somehow or another, you know, today I'm going to be a better Christian. Well, good luck with that. The fact of the matter is, there is nothing that we will ever do that will make us better Christians. It is God and God alone who by his grace bestows upon us the full merit of Jesus the Christ. And every time we turn to God and try to say we're going to be a better Christian, what we're saying to God is, well, the full merit of Jesus isn't good enough. Well, I think that's a big mistake. That's good. Because the full merit of Jesus is more than good enough. Because salvation with human beings is impossible. It's only God, in his mercy and his grace, who saves. And when he saves us to completion. And he remains fully and completely faithful. He can never be faithless. And St. Peter, who's always us, I tell you this all the time, St. Peter, he always represents us. St. Peter comes in and says, hey, yeah, but what about us? He says, look at us. We've given up everything to follow you. And Jesus says to him, you're absolutely right. God isn't going to be faithless to you. I didn't call you for no purpose. He says, if you have followed me, he says, in the regeneration, in other words, when the new earth is in place, he says, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, he says, you also will sit on thrones. You actually will judge the tribes of Israel. And every one of you that has given up anything, anything, for my name's sake, he says, you'll receive 100 times over that. He says, you won't even believe the grace of your God. But he says, but remember this, many that are first shall be last. In other words, don't look at rich people and think they got such a great life. He submits, many that are first will be last. And the last will be first. Then he says, four, verse chapter 20. Four, can't stop at the end of 19. Four, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. He says, there is a guy, he's rich. Says he's a householder, he's like a plantation guy. He's got all this stuff. He goes out early and he starts to hire laborers for his vineyard. And he agrees with them. You know, King James renders it a penny. It's actually a denarius. It's actually a day's wage. It says to him, they agreed for a denarius. And he sent him into the vineyard. Then he goes out 3 hours later. So this is 6 o'clock in the morning in the rendering of the ancients that Jesus was dealing with. So 6 o'clock in the morning, he does that. 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes out again. Sees other people that are still standing in the marketplace. Says to them, well, you go in the vineyard too. He says, and I'll give you whatever is right. So they go. Then he goes out at the 6th hour, which is noon. He goes out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the 9th hour. And he does the same. And it says, then at the 11th hour. So this is 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. He goes out, finds others standing idle. Says to them, what are you doing here standing idle? And they said, well, nobody hired us. He says, well, here's the deal. He says, you go in the vineyard. He says, and whatever's right, you'll receive that. When the evening comes, he calls the laborers to give them their hire. You know, there's no two-week period between paychecks. This time they paid you at the end of the day. It says, beginning from the last to the first, when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received a denarius. And it says, when the first came, they were thinking, well, we should get a lot more than that. But they all received a denarius. And it says, when they received it, they were mad. They were upset with this guy. And they said, well, these last only worked 1 hour. And you made them equal to us. And we bore the heat and the burden of the day. Now you see the parallel to Jonah. But he answered one of them. And he said, I didn't do anything wrong, did I? He said, I agreed with you for exactly what we agreed to. For a denarius. Is it not lawful? Now you realize Jesus chose this term with great purpose. He said, is it not lawful? Isn't it right under the sense of things, the way things go according to the law, that I do what I do with what's mine? He says, is your eye evil? Because I'm good. Yes. Yes. That's precisely the problem. We always, by nature, want somebody to pay for their sins. Especially the people who cut us off in traffic. That's when we say, where's the cops now? We always come to that point where, yeah, we really want somebody to get it. And there's no cop to be found. Don't come out there and say, waved at me and say, Jay, you were right. So glad you called me into here to take care of this awful person that just ran that stop sign. Because Jay, how many times have you rolled through stop signs? That's what Jonah didn't understand. Jonah was no different from the people of Nineveh. Only thing that was different was the people of Nineveh softened their hearts before God and said, who knows? You know, when you read that whole thing, they say, who knows if we repent, if we show God that we're really sorry, who knows if he won't relent and not allow this evil to come upon us. The people of Nineveh understood God better than Jonah, but Jonah understood God and didn't like it. Didn't like it. When Jesus says this, he's saying to understand, this is the way God is. God doesn't seek to do people harm. God does everything that he can to avoid it. He softens people's hearts. And in the softening of their heart, he gives them freely from the gospel the most wonderful grace. He pours grace upon them. So that even the most despicable person, who is Manasseh in the Bible, actually, Scripture says he was the worst ever, the worst ever. And you read in Chronicles the prayer of the repentance of Manasseh, that Manasseh repented. And God was gracious to him. Jesus said it's very difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that's what he was talking about, he says, because if you have your trust in all of these other things, it's not going to happen. And riches are one of the greatest things to lead people to trust in them, that somehow they'll always work, instead of understanding grace. No, it's not riches that save you. Your money isn't going to bail you out. There's nothing that can be done. He says, it's my grace. It's only my grace that saves you. It's only grace. Grace saves you. Grace works. The gospel works. You come to me and I will save you. I don't care what anybody else says about you. I don't care what sort of scoundrel or scumbucket you have been. As a matter of fact, I will save you. You come to me. Don't try to give me, I'm going to be a better Christian. Do you know how many times I've heard that? Come to me for grace, and I'll just give it to you. Because that's how I am. That's how I am. And that's why he says, the last will be first, and the first last. He says, there's not going to be any difference. He says, it doesn't matter when you came into the vineyard. It doesn't matter how that happened. He says, everybody gets the same. Everybody gets the same. That's the whole thing. Everybody gets the same. It's just freely given. And you freely receive. And this is the whole point of the kingdom. And that's why, by nature, we don't like it. We figure someplace along the line, somebody's got to get it. You know? We're just like the sons of thunder, you know, who, when the Samaritans were giving Jesus a hard time, they say all of a sudden, well, send some fire down on those people. You know, just singe them a little bit. You don't got to kill them. You know, a little scalding, that'll do it. That's enough. Jesus says, you don't even know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy, but to save. And he did. On a cross 2,000 years ago, he hung there and suffered and died and became sin for us. Because there's no bigger scoundrel than me. He hung there and died for you and I, that by grace we would be saved. And he will never be faithless. When he has received us, he receives us for eternity. And his grace is greater than all of our sin. And we receive the kingdom, not in part, but in the full. And we live forever in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus the Christ. And all of a sudden, we don't really want people to get it. We don't really want them to get it. We want God to be merciful to them. But they, just like us, would come to the knowledge of the truth, as Paul writes to Timothy, and be saved, that they would be saved. The first will be last, and the last first, to the glory of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, that's what you are. Even Jonah said that. Even Jonah said, you are so gracious and compassionate. And you are. And we come before you this day. We can't bring you anything. We can't do anything for you. You are entirely self-sufficient. But by your grace, you tell us to come. And you receive us freely for Jesus' sake. And by the power of the cleansing power of his blood, you wash us and renew us, and you give us eternal peace and life, that, Father, we may know your full salvation and abide in the same. Grant us that this day, Father, through your Holy Spirit and by your word. Grant us that assurance, that awareness. And Father, in every way, grant us the grace to be able to share that with everyone around us, that they too may rejoice in your kingdom. That in all things, Father, your name would be hallowed and glorified. For Jesus' name's sake, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.